Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.
Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Gradick, your host. Delighted to have you with us on this beautiful morning. And we've got a very special program for you today, a little bit different, but one I'm going to enjoy enormously. We have Eric Marnell. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, sir.
Eric is the owner and chief pilot for Slipstream Aviation, a new flight instruction school over at the Best Kept Secret in West Georgia, West Georgia Regional Airport. Well, good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming in. This is significant. And even if you're not a pilot or you don't ever expect to be a pilot, you have family and friends, I'm sure, and there are a lot out there who secretly and without confession have always dreamed of becoming a pilot. And the Slipstream is right, ready and able to make that dream come true. Before we get started, Eric, kind of introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got interested in aviation.
So my first airplane flight, I had it 6 days old. My dad took me in the plane, put the car seat right in the airplane. We went for flight. It was really fun.
Now, you remember that.
No, I remember the stories. My mom said she was going to kill my dad for doing that. But as long as I can remember, we've been an aviation family. And it was really nice being able to say, you know what, we're living in upstate New York and we want to go visit family in Pennsylvania. And we'd get in the airplane and it's, you know, 2.5 hour flight. And it was so much more interesting to make that as a flight versus having to drive it.
You know, and I was going to mention this later, but that is a remarkable sense of freedom when you can get in a plane and, you know, fly directly to Pennsylvania. You don't have to go through all that we have to go through when we fly commercial.
Exactly. And they say that a mile of road will take you a mile down the road, but a mile of runway will take you anywhere.
Ah, I haven't heard that. That's good. That's very good. So when did you get your pilot's license? And tell us a little more about the story.
So I got my pilot's license about 6 years ago. And we were living in Phoenix at the time. And there's always good flying in Phoenix. So I finished out my license. I had a lot of instruction leading up to that. But finished out my license in Phoenix, and we wound up moving back to Georgia, the West Georgia area. We've got family and roots here. And my buddy and I, Thomas, he's actually my chief flight instructor, we were sitting around one day and saying, you know, there needs to be a flight school out of the airport that can take somebody literally from their first flight all the way to being a commercial pilot, a flight instructor, or even just a regular pilot, a private pilot that wants to take their friends and family out for that $100 hamburger.
Now that's Thomas Johnson. He also works apparently with NetJets.
That's correct. He got picked up by NetJets, I guess about 8 months ago now, and he's loving it. He's doing really well over there. The schedule is fantastic. He's able to do all of our stage checks and all of our stuff as a chief instructor for us, but also has a full-time job flying jets for NetJets.
That's kind of a fractional ownership type of situation.
That's correct. So you get a NetJets card, and you're able to call up the dispatcher and say, hey, my family and I want to go from here to here, and they make it happen. Really first-class white glove service.
Well, let's... You know, like I said, it's kind of the undiscovered treasure of West Georgia Regional Airport, which is basically commissioned by Harrelson County and Carroll County governments. Tell us a little something about the airport and why the need is there. You would think we'd have two or three or four flight schools there.
You would think so, but there's been a lot of people that maybe have started something or... They just had an airplane, they were trying to rent it out, but there was nothing really run with business intention. So there's nobody that kept business hours. It was always a second or third job for them. And they weren't there, and when the airplane would break, and it happens, it's like a car, it's a mechanical device, right?
Yeah, so mine's in the shop right now.
Exactly. Your airplane or your car?
The car.
So when something would happen, it would be, you know, several days or weeks or even months before it would get fixed, and people, they need to be able to fly pretty regularly to keep their hand in and work towards their licenses and their currency and their ratings.
Let's drill down that a little more. There's something in terms of particularly attractive about West Georgia Regional Airport as far as an airport to learn. One runway, very long runway, kind of wide.
5,503 feet. It's a wonderful runway, lot of room. The staff are fantastic. So right. The airport authority has been hugely supportive. They've been great. The FBO manager, really stand-up guy. Even the line guys are excited to have a flight school out there. But there's not a lot of traffic. There's a little bit of transient traffic that comes through on their way to somewhere else. It's a nice airport, very slow-paced, but cheap fuel. Really just a great group of people out there running that airport.
And then when you're training, you can fly to the west and without going into the TCA or any problem. Right?
Exactly. So you've got, for training, we can go towards Atlanta and go to Fulton County because there's a tower out there. Or if we need to go somewhere where it's not busy, we can go out to the west and there's nothing out there.
Sounds real good. Tell us a little about the instructional packages, the different options if someone wanted to learn to fly. Or there are a lot of people that, you know, have gotten rusty, took a few lessons and never really, and dropped it for whatever reason. What kind of options do everybody have?
So one of the options we offer is the complete private pilot package. Now that's a mouthful to say, but basically it offers you everything you need start to finish to get your private pilot's license. And it's a very expensive package because it contains everything. Everything is there, and it's a one lump sum, and we take you all the way to the finish line. However, most people find it's more convenient just to rent by the hour. And they come out, and they'll fly for... We try and block 2 hours for people to fly because that gives them time to remember what their last lesson was and then get some new concepts and skills in. And then we'll schedule them again a couple days later. We'd like to see people flying about 3 to 5 times a week, depending on what their schedule looks like and how fast they're picking it up.
But it's not always in the airplane. You got ground school too, right?
Yes. So there's a lot of ground instruction that's going to go into it. We recommend a couple of different programs. Sporty's Pilot Package has a wonderful ground school. It's all self-study. And then once you get your ground knowledge done, you get your solo done, you get some time in the airplane, we start talking about scheduling your check ride.
How young is too young to fly?
That's always kind of a tough question because you want to be young enough that you're getting a jump on everything, but you don't want it so young that they're not going to maintain the knowledge and really have the mental capacity and bandwidth to understand what goes into flying an airplane. The FAA says that you can solo at 16 and you can get your license at 17. That we have found is most people that know they want to do this, the younger kids that want to come in, if they start flying right around, you know, 15, 15 and a half, and then we solo them at 16 and they get a lot of time in the airplane between 16 and 17, there's been several people come through that actually got their license on their 17th birthday.
So for a young person who wants to make this a career, aviation a career, the first topic is always, are the airlines hiring? So what are the career options and attractiveness, if any, these days about an aviation career?
aviation is going to be around for a long time. It's not really changed a whole lot in the past 50 years. You still have, you know, two or three people up front that are making that airplane go where it wants to go. And so you're going to have always a need. And right now you're going to have a lot of, the airlines have slowed down their hiring, but they are still hiring. Fractionals and commercial interests are always hiring. Everybody is moving through a lot on the aviation world. So even if they're not hiring right now, give it a few months, because it's always a feast or famine kind of thing. They'll pause hiring for a year or two, and that gives people a lot of time to get more ratings, but then they'll start hiring people like crazy, and then it always cascades down. So the big airlines, your Delta, your United, your American, they're taking people from the regionals. The regionals are taking the people that have their commercial and their hours, and they're out there flying with the regionals.
Okay, let's take a break. We're on Facebook Live. If you have any questions or comments, we see that our good friend Stacy is watching. We appreciate that. And we're going to hear from our sponsors. We'll be back with more with Eric Marnell, owner and chief pilot of Slipstream Aviation, the West Georgia Regional Airport, after these words.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us. Eric Marnell, owner and chief pilot of Slipstream Aviation, is our guest this morning. Now, in his opening little bio, he failed to mention, I guess, humility. He was United States Air Force, and he was a jet mechanic.
That's correct.
Yeah. Which aircraft did you work on?
So I worked on the F-16s and F-15s.
No kidding. Really?
Yes, sir. The fast movers.
Yeah. Well, let's shift down from the F-16, F-15 down to the 172. The most popular aviation or general aviation aircraft in the history of the world is the Cessna 172, correct?
That's correct.
And tell us a little something about training in the 172. That's what you offer. It's the 1980 172. Tell us about that aircraft, why it's so perfect for instruction, and tell us about how it's equipped, if you would.
Sure. So the 172 is a four-place airplane, and I specifically wanted a four-place airplane because I wanted somebody to be able to take all their lessons in that airplane, get familiar with it, and then once they get their license, they can throw their spouse and their kids in the back and go somewhere. There are some operations offering two-place airplanes, the 150s and some of the smaller Cherokees, but there's not really a practical use for them once you get your license and you're spending time stepping up to a bigger airplane. Whereas the 172, right out of the gate, it's going to have everything you need to take your spouse and your kids out for that $100 hamburger, right? So it's...
okay, whoa. $100 hamburger. Now, okay, so, well, for the non-aviation types, what is that?
So the $100 hamburger is when you figure out what it costs to put gas in the airplane and go from here to, say, Anniston or, you know, a close airfield that has a restaurant on field. Peach State Aerodrome is a perfect one. They've got barnstormers right there on the field.
Where is that located?
That's just south of Griffin.
Okay,
and it's a fantastic little grass strip. They've got a lot of commemorative aircraft down there, some World War II aircraft and fighters, and they've got a museum down there, but they have a fantastic hamburger at the restaurant. And so when you figure out the gas and everything to put in the airplane, it costs about $100 to go get that hamburger.
Which is not much more than McDonald's currently.
Not anymore.
What about Russell Airport in Rome? Do they still have a restaurant, or do you know?
I don't know. I've actually not been up there in a while.
Tell us, and this is kind of inside baseball, I suppose, but tell us about your panel. What kind of instrumentation do you have?
So the instrumentation we have in the airplane is dual Garmin G5s, and that takes the place of your artificial horizon and the HSI, the basically the compass in the airplane. So those two instruments by themselves aren't really super fantastic. It's once you start getting into your instrument rating that they provide a lot of information. It's a lot of information for the person just starting out without being overwhelming. But once you get some time in the airplane, you learn all the information that that instrument's going to offer you. It's fantastic to have.
So it's like almost every industry and profession in the world, computerization has taken over, and the panels of aircraft have been upgraded in the last, 20 years to just, it's all computerized.
Really, even the last 10. The leaps have been amazing. We have a Garmin 650 XI GPS, and that's a touchscreen GPS that also offers NEXRAD weather and other aerial targets as well. So it'll tell you other airplanes out there, where they're going, and how high or low they are around you.
Tell us a little more about the 172 as to why. How many horsepower does it have?
It's a 160 horsepower engine in there, okay. So it's got plenty of power to get off the ground, even on these hot Georgia days. So we generally keep the airplane full of fuel, and you know the instructor and the student go up, and there's plenty of power to get off the ground, do all the maneuvers, and go wherever you want to go.
Very stable aircraft.
Incredibly stable aircraft.
And it's a high wing, so you get a good view of everything below you.
Exactly. You can see everything below you. A lot of times you'll be flying and the sun will be just right. You can turn a little bit and put that wing right over the sun, and it keeps you in the shadows. It's really nice.
What altitude do you mainly train?
So we try and train between about 4,500 and 5,500 feet, and that gives us plenty of room for maneuvers and a good safety margin underneath us, but it doesn't get us so high that we're spending all of our time climbing out.
Let's talk a little bit about, we kind of touched on it with the 172, but people who are unfamiliar with general aviation are a little bit nervous about the safety factor. Tell us about the safety factor, particularly in instruction.
So for instruction, you're going to be with an instructor who has a lot of hours. Instructors tend to instruct so they can build hours and go on to commercial aviation, the airlines and such. But they've also got a lot of training. There's a lot of recurrent training that happens. But the airplane itself is incredibly safe because we practice engine out maneuvers. We practice what to do in an emergency. We have emergency checklists that we go through. Everything in an airplane happens on a checklist. So you're always talking about what to do. Even when you depart with your instructor, there's going to be a briefing. This is where we are. This is where we're going. This is what we plan to do. And if things go wrong, this is what's going to happen. So everybody kind of has an idea of, okay, this is what we're doing. But also, if things go wrong, this is what we can do as well.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, we mentioned Thomas Johnson. You got two other instructors that work with you. Tell us about them.
That's correct. William Murphy, he's a fantastic add to the team. He's been doing great, flying an awful lot. He's going to fly the wings off my airplane. I'm not even a little bit angry about it. He's doing wonderful. And then we also have Austin Ford, who instructs with us from time to time. He comes from a maintenance background, so he's doing a lot of maintenance up there at the airport. He works up with one of the hangars on the north end, and he's doing really well as well.
Part of being a good pilot is really understanding the mechanics of your aircraft, your systems. Is it not? I mean, it's not just get in and go. You need to know about all the different systems, do you not?
That's correct. So part of your training is going to be how the engine behaves, how the airframe behaves if you do this, what the different things in the airplane do. So you've got flaps, you've got ailerons, you've got the elevator, you've got the rudder. Everything is a component that makes the airplane do something. And so understanding how that happens is a big part of making sure that you have a safe and productive, happy flight.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, Miracle on the Hudson when he flipped on the APU, Captain Scully did immediately.
Exactly.
You have to know what's what goes to what. Tell us a little bit more. I kind of lost my train of thought there, but again, in the safety factor, give us a little just basic understanding of why an airplane flies the way it does.
So an airplane flies because of the air moving over the wings. The biggest thing is, as long as you keep that air moving over the wings, the airplane's going to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So the air moving over the wings primarily comes from the engine. When you're under normal operations, the engine is what powers the airplane. And if you ever lose that engine, you pitch the airplane to over a little bit and maintain that airspeed, and then you find a safe place to land. And that's one of the things you learn in training is best glide speed for the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you all the time to figure out, okay, where are we going to land? Where are we going? What are we doing next?
Mm-hmm. So basically the lift that the wing generates is just as long as you got a lift going, you're good.
As long as you have air flowing over the wings. The four forces of flight are going to be your power forward, your lift, your drag, and gravity. So that's what always is going to, that never changes.
But the other thing that's interesting about it, too, is you're basically got three axes to work on.
Exactly. Correct? It's not like driving a car. You actually control your elevation as well.
So it's a much different sensation.
Sometimes it can be. You can, for fun, you can get up there and just give the nose a little push pretty quick, and you're floating up here. So it's...
But it's, you know, it's almost like three-dimensional as opposed to two-dimensional.
You definitely need to think about where the airplane's going to go. It is three-dimensional because you've got your left, right, up, down, and then forward and backward.
Well, expand on that because there's something called spatial orientation. I mean, you got to know where you are. Isn't it easy to kind of lose sight of exactly where you are?
It is. And part of what you're going to learn is just dead reckoning. Basic airmanship, you know, this is where I was. We practice a lot with where the airport is. We practice I-20. Bremen has the tank farm out there. That's a really big landmark we can look at. We've got the power stations just down to the south of us, or the southwest.
Got Walmart.
Walmart, the DC, you can see that from forever.
But you got the interstates too.
Exactly. And we do a lot of, you know, wrecking on the interstate. One of the things we do is go to Anniston, Alabama, and you take off and go up to the interstate, and it's the second airport on the left. And that's really what we tell people.
But now, my understanding, I don't know if this is true, is when they design the interstate, there's supposedly long, straight stretches of it that if you have an emergency, you're supposed
that to... That is a true statement. So when the interstates were put together, it was leading up to the World Wars, and aviation was still a fledgling endeavor at that time, but it was mandated by law that 1 mile of every five is straight.
Really?
That's correct.
I didn't
and it might be every 10, but I'm pretty sure it's every 5 miles. 1 mile of every five is going to be straight. And you can look for them as you're driving now. You can see 1 mile of every five is going to be straight.
Yeah, but you still got to be careful about the power lines crossing it.
Power lines have definitely been an encroachment on aviation and the roads.
All right. Well, interesting. Eric Marnell is in studio. He's the owner and chief pilot of the new, we should be saying that, the brand new Slipstream Aviation School, Instructional School for Aviation at West Georgia Regional Airport. We'll be back with more with Eric after this.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. We're on Facebook Live. With shout out to Bobby. And also, we talked about when you learn to fly a general aviation aircraft, you have to learn about the systems. But there's also another situation that occurs when you fly private aviation. You actually have to learn a lot about the weather.
A lot about the weather.
Tell us about that. That's really fair. I mean, you know, it's not just getting in a plane, going up and coming back down. There's a lot to this.
Exactly. You learn about convective warming. You know, the mornings tend to be much better to fly because it's not all bumpy from the sun hitting all the different things on the ground. So the trees will have a certain way they warm up. Lakes will warm up differently. Roads, big asphalt parking lots, they go a different way. So in the morning, it's a much better time to fly. Nighttime flying can be very disorienting, but as far as the weather goes, you know, there's been plenty of times you wake up and it's foggy out there and you can look up and see blue, but you can't see 10 feet in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn about the weather. One of the things we would be able to do is teach somebody that just got their private pilot's license, what's called their instrument ratings.
Mm-hmm.
So being an instrument pilot means you can fly in different kinds of weather, bad weather. Every big jet, you know, the Deltas, the Americans, they're going to have all the instrumentation to come in and land safely, even if it's foggy. So the instrument is a big package. It's the next step after your private, but it's a big deal as far as flying anywhere, anytime.
Well, and that's back to the safety factor.
Exactly.
If you get caught in weather conditions, you're not, you know, freaking out.
Exactly. And there's been a lot of situations where a student will come up on a cloud and not know what to do. So we teach them basic instrument. We call it under the hood. And we can simulate that by blocking out the view of the windshield with a special pair of glasses called foggles.
Tell us about the different ratings, though. We mentioned an instrument, but go through the different licenses and ratings that you achieve.
So the licenses and ratings start out with a student pilot, and that's everybody who's flying a big jet for Delta and United and American. They started out flying a Cessna 172 or a Piper Cherokee, and they start as a student pilot. And they go from student pilot to private pilot. That's their first step. That's the big one. Then from private, you go to instrument, instrument to commercial. From commercial, you can get your multi-engine rating. You can get what's called a high-performance complex sign-off. Those are two different things. High-performance is an engine that makes more than 201 horsepower. Complex is an aircraft that has retractable gear, flaps. And then you go from that to a multi-engine rating. And then a multi-engine, you can go for your instructor ratings. You don't have to have a multi-engine to go for your instructor. You can go right from your commercial to CFI. And then CFII. So CFI is Certified Flight Instructor. CFII is Certified Flight Instructor Instruments.
And there's still airline transport?
There is still ATP. That's the last one that would be, get you off to the airlines.
We're going to have to wrap it up. But let's talk. We haven't really talked about the fun of all this too much. And we talk about all the ratings, the instrumentation. But there are a lot of pilots that just go up for fun. They stay pretty close to the pattern, to the airport. So you really, is that really a safe option, do you think?
It absolutely is. And one of the things we ask our students is, what kind of flying do you want to do? Do you want to just go up and have fun, or do you want to actually go places? And we try and tailor your training to the flying you're going to want to do. And we expose you to all of that. And it really works out well. We find that the students are really receptive to that.
Before we go, I just want to throw out, business jets get a bad rap in the mainstream media, but from what I understand, 80-90% of business jet flying is for business. This is a, you know, capitalist tool. It's a very efficient means of doing business.
It absolutely is. And even business jets are fantastic for getting somebody from, you know, New York to Charlotte or even New York to LA and have a meeting and then they're back the same day. It's a really good tool. But even our airplane, I'm actually going to be leaving here and flying our airplane down to Peachtree City because I have to pick up some parts for a maintenance inspection we have coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much faster to fly. It's only 20 minutes in the air versus an hour each way on the ground.
I don't know anybody who enjoys flying commercial anymore.
No, it's become such a chore to fly commercially anymore.
If people want to learn more about Slipstream, how should they go about it?
So they can go to our website. It's www.flyslipstreamaviation.com. Or they can just come up to the West Georgia Regional Airport and step into the office. We'll be happy to show them around.
Just go into the FBO, the big hangar?
That's correct. It's the building with all the windows on it.
And y'all are there every day, pretty much?
Every day. We try and keep business hours as much as we can.
Well, we wish you well. I mean, it's important. And I don't know why Noonan has all the aviation instructors. I mean, they need to come to West Georgia.
They do. It's a much, much nicer airport out at West Georgia. Instead, a lot less traffic.
Instead of coming up here and just doing touch and goes and going back. You know, that's just ridiculous.
We're happy to have them.
All right. Thank you to Eric Marnell, owner and chief pilot of Slipstream Aviation, the West Georgia Regional Airport, the place that no one's really discovered yet, but they will one day. And we thank you for listening. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.